This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak Show normally airs every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network. You can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the United States and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. That number again, 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government politics section of Pal Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have our virtual radio room, the People Speak Radio Show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a fantastic show tonight. We're talking to a very, very special guest right here, a very talented artist and illustrator who does all the memes and visual images that are now wide world famous. We're talking tonight to Mr. David Dees, all about the topics he covers in his artwork and then some. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show, Mr. David Dees.
Well, hi. I appreciate you calling me and inviting me on. I just rushed home to talk to you. And, you know, the interesting thing about doing radio and talking about art is that you can't quite see the art. And so I would tell folks, if you go on the internet and type in my name, David Dees, D-E-E-S, and maybe go to Google Images and type that in, there are hundreds and hundreds of images that I did the last, I'd say I started in 2006, I did my first political art image, so now I'm probably up to around 650 or 700 pieces.
Oh, I believe there's at least 1,000, maybe more, images of yours. They're all over the internet, and I guarantee just about everybody who's listening into the show tonight would have seen at least one or two or a dozen of your images. That they're quite well known. Can you tell us how did you first get started? Was it in corporate advertising?
Yeah, I started in commercial illustration way back in the late 70s. I'm an airbrush artist, and I used to paint T-shirts and airbrush fans, and I got into advertising art, where I got into a studio over in Atlanta, Georgia, where I was illustrating. I was drawing the art that you see in magazines and newspapers, where you see the products. A lot of stuff for Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, and Coca-Cola, cartoons for posters, a lot of point-of-purchase things when you go in a store, you know, when they have a little an aisle, you know, display, these sort of things. So I started in very, very commercial. And then I worked my way up. I made it over to Hollywood in the 80s and worked in designing movie posters and video covers. I didn't do so many movie posters. That's what I really wanted to do, but it was pretty tied up. That part of the industry, you know, you really have to work to get into that. So I found that the video covers were something, and I worked for Paramount and Hanna-Barbera and for Warner Brothers, some Disney stuff. So I worked for all the major studios there for, you know, all through the 80s and 90s.
Wow.
And eventually got into, I always had goals up ahead. And one that was I wanted to do children's illustration stuff. And so when computers came in the 90s, early 90s, then I lost a lot of clients because they could just use Photoshop and they didn't need me anymore. I was doing photorealistic stuff, so. But then I started learned to draw the cartoons, and I worked with Sesame Street magazine for a good 15 years until my politics got to be too extreme, and they kicked me loose. But that happened to a lot of clients. When I got woken up to world politics and the Zionist agenda, I got woke up to 9/11 probably in 2003. At that time, I'd moved to Sweden. I lived in Sweden 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And so I woke up to 9/11 in 2003, and I really, it changed my life. I think a lot of people, when they found out that they got lied to, but I particularly did. I started investigating it and digging up and realizing that I could research, it for myself. And so I started showing my friends. I go, look at this. You know, look at. There was even a military guy that I knew in Sweden, and I said, look at this these Pentagon photographs. Look, a plane can't fit in there. You know, look at this. It doesn't fit. Nothing fits. And he looked at me and said, what are you trying to say? You know, he says, I trust these people. They wouldn't do that. So, you know, it has a way when you get woken up and you start to tell your friends, you know, everybody has this experience where you divide them up. I mean, they either go with you or they don't, and you just lose friends, but you make new friends. So, in 2006, I did my first piece of political art, and it was posted on rents.com, and that was, so how many years is that? So that's 9 years.
Wow.
I've been doing this 9 years. Yeah.
How did you make the transition from corporate and commercial artwork into the conspiracy world? Was it primarily 9/11 that made your transition so much faster or a lot easier?
9/11, just, I came screaming out of the proverbial sleep state with 9/11. I was, you may be aware of Bill Cooper. Bill
yes, sir.
Cooper was a military a guy that started to expose, you know, the New World Order. He didn't really call it then. He just called it the secret government. And I read documents on the secret government before it was even in his first book, because it got passed around. I was going to UFO conferences, and the conspiracy stuff was starting to really heat up during the UFO conferences, you know. So, which I found really interesting. I mean, I was terribly shocked to read about the underground bases that the military had, and the, uh-huh. the concept of a secret government. But I was exposed to that early on. In the early 90s.
I'm sorry, Bill Cooper was formerly of the National Reconnaissance Office, an officer with that particular wing of the military. He's also known as the godfather of 9/11 truth, having posted 5 days after 9/11 an article on what really happened, on who benefited from 9/11, and it certainly wasn't the Muslim community.
Well, he also predicted 9/11. He said that the World Trade Center probably would be hit, and it'll be blamed on Osama bin Laden. And that was about
Absolutely.
3-4 months before it happened. He literally called it. So, you know, he ended up dying in a hail of gunfire in his front lawn. So he exposed a lot of stuff. I don't know if they shut him down on purpose or they wanted to take him, and he wasn't going alive. So. I did see him one time at a UFO conference, and he was sitting at a table, and I was very intimidated. I could have walked up and talked to him, but I just said, you know, he looks too angry. So, yeah, great guy. I mean, what a legend. He's a legend, but you know, he risks his life to tell that stuff. You know, and all I do is I read and watch videos and stuff, But I touch on stuff that I've had government harassment too. You know, they came after me when I lived in Sweden. They shut me down. You know, I was talking about World War II revisionism that they really, it's against the law. You know, I don't know if you know this, but in about 15 countries in Europe, you cannot talk about the Holocaust. And here
That's
I
right.
was, you know, illustrating it and just screaming it out, and I was bringing attention to Sweden. They really didn't want, so they kicked me out of the country.
Goodness. Now, your website is called www.deesillustration.com, and on that website, you have an available for a printed book of your artwork on sale for $23. Can you tell us a little bit more about that book, and how did you get that published?
I published it myself. It's been out for about a year and a half. It's 8.5 by 11 full color color plates on real heavy paper. It's 114 full color illustrations. You know, it's the best of the best. I really pulled the plum off the tree. At that time, I think I had about 400 pieces, and I pulled the best 114 pieces out of it. It's kind of like my greatest hits.
Right.
And yeah, I'm up for doing another one now. I have I have enough art now to do another 114 pages. You know, there's certain subjects I really want to expand on, and I realize I'm just not ready for my second book because there's so many things I want to say. I kind of softballed it a little bit. While that's really good art, it's not the really dangerous stuff that can make the book get banned. I guarantee you the second book will be banned and it'll be illegal because I'll expose, you know, all these agendas that they want me to shut up about. It's very dangerous. Yeah. You know, it is, actually is. You know, imagine you go to prison for doing art. So, I mean, that's what we're really, you know, it sounds like a joke, but it's the truth.
That's actually happening now. That's right. One of the best book covers I've seen is for a cancer researcher, Ty Bollinger, Cancer Step Outside the Box. That's one of your works, yes?
Yeah, I designed it.
What other major books
I designed,
have you done?
See, that's the thing, is that once I started doing political art, I lost all my contacts in Hollywood and L.A. I kind of played that out. I was done doing children's, Sesame Street, and I was doing a Time magazine for kids, you know, a lot of kids stuff. But I always had in my mind I wanted to do book covers, but how do you get into the market? It was really tough. And so once I started doing the political art, they found me. And so I've just been living, making a living doing book covers the last 9 years. And I don't know how many famous ones are, because the covers I do are not necessarily for the big book companies. These are independent authors. Bollinger, I've done all of his book covers. I've done, I think, 5 or 6 covers for him. He always uses me. And he's sold millions of copies of that. So that's a very popular book cover.
Now, what are your thoughts about Monsanto? Are they really out to feed the world?
No, they're not. Monsanto is just another corporation, from the Rothschilds, and it looks like that what they really want to do is corner the food market. You know, what's happened is that everything has become weaponized. When you look at it, the food has become weaponized. The water, you know, they created scarcity with it. They, you know, the HAARP and the chemtrails are causing a terrible drought on the West Coast here. You can look at satellite images and see where they're spraying, you know, a barrier where the storms that normally come in off the Pacific coast and hit California are just simply being stopped. You can watch them dissipate. They just fall apart. So they don't make it to land. And so, you know, the whole scam is going to be, you know, how peak oil, how they were saying that, you know, there was dinosaurs that created oil. There's a limit to it. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is that the earth creates oil in the mantle. It's in the same way with water. Water does not come from the sky. We don't have to depend on rain. If you drill down, the scientists have found that, you know, there's 5 times as much water underground as in all the oceans. They call it primary water. Go to primarywater.org and you'll see that, we have water. What was the question about Monsanto? Yeah, Monsanto. In fact, I just came back from the grocery store. That's why I was a little late. And, all the white corn was gone. You know, I went to shopping, and the yellow corn was all stocked up, but all the white corn was gone. And I point out to the guy that was stocking, I said, "Look, you know, the reason that is because white corn is not GMO. People know that in this town." He goes, "That's why all the white corn is gone. I couldn't figure that out." So,
of course, Monsanto have cornered the seed market in a number of countries as well. That they're holding the world to ransom with their Terminator seeds.
Yeah. You know, I lived in West Virginia when I first came back from Sweden for just a short time, and there was a farmer there that I was buying some corn from. And I said, "This isn't GMO, right?" And he goes, no. He says, a couple of years ago, I did grow some GMO corn just to see what it was like. And he said, "Do you know that I had to sign a contract with Monsanto that said that at the end of the growing season, once I cut down all the stalks, that I was absolutely not to feed it to any of the cows?" He says, "That's in the contract. You cannot feed this to the cows." And so
what?
He said, "That was the scariest thing I'd ever heard." You know, I said, "Of course you can't feed it to them. It'll kill them." And so, you know, it's poison. It's manufactured poison. So,
to be able to do this kind of political art, you must have researched so many topics and so many thoroughly researched stuff to be able to do that. How much time do you spend researching every week?
I slowed down a little bit. You're right. In the beginning, I was really turning out a lot of work. I was doing at least 1 or 2 a week. It's easy, you know. When I'm doing other work, I get videos going. I've got a separate screen, 2 different screens. I can get videos going and listen to talk radio. You know, it's all there. I'm just kind of repackaging all the information that's available to everybody. YouTube is incredible. Just type in any subject you want to know about, and you'll see And there's some very talented video makers. And the great thing is that when I find these, you know, incredible videos that are so beautifully assembled, then my art pops up in them, and then, you know, I'm humbled that I just want to go, wow, this is an incredible video, and then suddenly there's my art. So, you know, I cover a lot of the subjects.
You do get a warm, fuzzy feeling when you see your art being used by people on YouTube?
Sure. I mean, it's all. I make it all free to use. You know, I've always made it free to use. For non-profit purposes. But you know, everybody uses it anyway. It's on. You know, it's. I figure if I'm going to try to wake people up about GMO or chemtrails and stuff, how am I going to charge them for it? I mean, I'm just trying to wake people up and save lives and educate people and entertain them. If you look at the illustrations, they. You know, I certainly have evolved to a style now where I'm recognizable, and you know, I use a lot of the tricks I use in advertising, or in working in Hollywood. You know, that's maybe the appeal of it, is that, you know, I designed for the big corporations for so many years, and now I'm actually designing against them, which is kind of a beauty to that, I suppose.
What are your thoughts about the Federal Reserve Bank of America? Are they holding America to ransom?
Well, yeah. Yeah, the answer is yes. It's not really ransom. It's just an old parlor trick that the Zionists, have created. It's in all through history. Banking, the three power centers are banking, media and politics, and the Zionists have taken over all those, you know, because with the money that they print, you know, the whole scam of printing paper money, they overtake all, you know, they can buy out the media, and with the media they can control the information, you know, and so it's literally mind control. You know, when you consider that everything you read, something like six corporations now own 14,000 magazines, and you know every.
It's and radio and newspapers.
Yeah, radio, newspapers, magazines, every bit of information you get, even websites now. You know, they buy up any website that starts to gain ground. They just buy it up, and then they control the information. So, but the internet is the first time we've learned all this. That's the incredible thing about it. I mean, people are waking up all the time from being exposed to, you know, information that's not controlled by the media. You know, it's really the last hope, and I'm sure that they're, you know, just like China. China is terribly censored. You know, they have China is really the model. They want people in America eventually to be working for a dollar a day and living in cities and slums, just the same way they do in China. That's what they have planned for us, to move them. You know, the people who printed the paper money just basically bought up the planet and now consider it to be that we're on their property. So they want to, you know, and you look at the Georgia Guidestones. You know, they talk about, you know, mm-hmm. 9/10 of the planet needs to die, and we need to turn everything back to nature. And if you look at the Agenda 21, type in Agenda 21 on YouTube and start to study about what they got planned, and that is to move everybody off the land back into cities, into reservations, basically.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is 20 years ago, things like the Bilderberg Group, the CFR, the Council for Foreign Relations, and things like Agenda 21, they were all conspiracy theories that couldn't be proven. But now we have the internet, it can be proven. We've got lists of the people who go to Bilderberg. Do you think the internet has changed the way people see these threats to our livelihood?
The internet is woken people up. You know, I mean, they know about the Bilderberg Group now. They know about Bohemian Grove. That there's a photograph of Reagan and Nixon sitting at the same table. You know, before they were president. So they literally go there and they say, "Yeah, you're our guy." You know, if you go along with the agenda, see, you know, you don't get close to being put in office in this. You know, the whole Republican Democrat thing is just a show, just to make people think they have a choice, but you really have no choice. You know, and I try to illustrate this. I mean, that's the way I always, you know, there was a good piece I did recently where you're looking at somebody, it's the back of somebody's shoes, their legs, and they're just kind of hanging, you know. You don't see the rest of their body, you just kind of see their shoes hanging, and then you can see the chair in the room where they kick that out. And then on the TV it says, you choose, and this between Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. So, you know, the idea is that the guy committed suicide when they said that, you know, you choose.
Well, this is the People Who Speak radio show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking live and direct with special guest and political artist David Dees. We'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
You're listening to the People Who Speak radio show, coming to you live across America and across the world. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our guest. He's a political artist who has his own website, www.deesillustration.com. He's a prolific illustrator and also a musician. Welcome back there, Mr. David Dees, sir.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, can you tell us briefly, how do you get the ideas to come up with some of the topics? Do you set out to do certain things, or do you just get that from the impulses from the things that you watch and learn?
A lot of the ideas I have, I don't illustrate because they're too complicated. I have to put the, you know, I don't get paid to do these, so I, you know, I try to do something that I can do in a day. Some of these take two or three days. The best is if I can knock it out in a couple of hours, you know. Recently, I did a piece where I just I wanted to do a family eating at a table, and I just pulled up a nice stock photograph of a happy family sitting at a table. And then I took a Roundup, Monsanto's Roundup, you know, the insecticide that they spray on the plants, and I just set that product right into the middle of the table with all the other food, and then I photoshopped the family into this horrible infections all over them, and they're all smiling and eating, and you know, it looks, if you just first glance at it, it looks like a normal family, but then when you realize that they're just being poisoned by Monsanto, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one that went pretty quick. Yeah.
Do you do most of these illustrations using Photoshop or another program?
It's all Photoshop. And I'm telling you, if people say I'm an expert at Photoshop, I'm no expert. I'm using the most basic tools of just layering and airbrushing and cutting and pasting. It's just so basic. The only thing I do complicated, I suppose, is the composition, color, you know, that's kind of where I pull it together. But I see Photoshop all the time. I have no clue how they do it. It's just way more complicated than what I do. I really need to take a class. But, Yeah, it's just Photoshop, just layering. I would suggest anybody try it, because all you need is a Intuos bamboo pad, and then a pen that, you know, and then Photoshop. I work on a Mac, iMac, you know, 27 inch. It's real nice, very clean.
Wow.
Yeah. So all you need is a pad and a pen, and Photoshop. And I would, you know, you can. Everybody should jump in and create their own art. I really would want to try to inspire you to do that. I need help out here, you know. I mean, we just need to get the word out.
Absolutely.
I'm an activist. I'm an activist. There's no doubt about that, that I have a driving passion for people to wake up. I love it. I love that I can do a piece of art, and it, now it gets such attention it can be posted on David Icke or Rents.com, and, you know, millions see it. It's quite a stage that I can adorn with you know, just my thinking. It's just you know, as an illustrator, artist, I mean, this is just, it's an amazing time. You know, when I was growing up, the idea if I did a painting of some landscape or some animal, you know, and then hung it on the wall, and I actually stood there while somebody looked at it, that was exciting to me. You know, that's what an artist wants to do. He wants to create an effect on people. See, so the only thing is that I don't get to really see the effect that I create on people. But once I printed my book, the first thing I did is you know, there was a tavern that I used to go down to all the time, and so I walk in with my book, and I'm sitting there at the bar, and these people, you know, we're having nice wine and stuff, and I pull out this book, and people are looking at it and turn the pages, and just the expressions that they were, you know, having from each page. That was the first time I saw people's reaction, you know, in present time to the art. So that's pretty exciting.
I have noticed that the Anti-Defamation League have a page dedicated to you. Have you ever had any harassment from this group of criminals?
Yeah. I'm glad you phrased it that way. I was wondering how politically correct we were having to be. But, yeah, once I woke up to the Zionist agenda, the Zionist Jewish agenda, and, you know, I did start to include that in the art and did my best to expose it. And I researched, it was around 2008 probably that I woke up to the whole Holocaust scam. The so-called Holocaust is the gas chambers were a total hoax, total wartime propaganda from Russia. And you know, there were no gas chambers. The Zyklon B was used to delouse the mites out of the lice out of you know, the inmates' clothes, the workers' clothes, and their mattresses. And so it was never used to exterminate anybody. But and the 6 million thing was floated. You know, if you type in 6 million, it was used during World War II. You know, there's about 25 different newspapers where 6 million Jews died before World War II. So, you know, this was a magic number that they were wanting to use for many years. And so they found the perfect situation with World War II.
Yeah. A very prophetic prophecy that they reused and reused and rehashed time and time again.
Yeah, they yeah, if you study about communism, it was written, created by Karl Marx and a couple other guys, but they were all, you know, sons of rabbis, and they created communism. And then, you know, they went and killed the royal family, and they were the whole communist. The secret of communism is that the people who created and instigated communism into Russia, Mother Russia, and killed the royal family there and took over, were all Jewish. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, all the names. I can't think of them right now because I'm a little nervous. But yeah, they were all the and they went into Bolsheviks went in and just murdered millions and millions. You never hear about that on the History Channel. All you hear about is, you know, Holocaust, 6 million. Well, it's all just a smokescreen. The truth is that, you know, Stalin and Lenin, they murdered. They estimate 60 million people. It's crazy. You know, anybody that opposed them. Murdered and they tortured them, and it's you know, the Red Army was actually getting ready to roll into Europe. They were poised right on the World War II. They were poised on the border, It was a preemptive strike from Hitler, and he went in and stomped them. I mean, they were literally going to roll in and take over all of Europe. So they already took over all these other surrounding states, and that's why they were creating the USSR. None of these countries wanted to be part of Russia. You know, Ukraine was trying to get out, and then they starved them to death. It was called the Holodomor in 1933 and 1934. The Red Army surrounded Ukraine and took all the grain and didn't let any grain in, and made it so anybody that tried to grow anything, they would shoot them, and they starved millions of people. And you never hear about that. Mm. And when I lived in Sweden, you know, I actually went down to Ukraine twice, and so I have a special feeling for Ukraine. And now it's in the middle of another war. Don't get me started. It's just too many subjects to cover. What's the question?
Some of your best artwork has been exposing the Zionists over the years. Do you think, in your researched opinion, that the infiltration of American government by Zionist elements is actually a security threat to the United States? Do you feel that?
Yeah. The United States as a concept is over. It's been taken over the same way that they took over Russia, and it's the same people. Yeah, you know, the
wow.
Bolsheviks, it's the same way. They just don't, they're not as openly bloody with their takeover now. You know, it's all done, as Bill Cooper put in his book, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It's all done so you can't quite tell where the damage is coming from. So poison is a great way, slowly poisoning somebody is a great way to kill people.
Yes, the slow kill.
Slow kill. You put fluoride in the water. You hit them with electromagnetic radiation with all these cell phone towers. In fact, the cell phone towers are now, we're realizing that they're for plenty more than just cell phone. Their perfect ideal scene is to have people that they can mind control like robots. And so, that's what we have coming up. Go ahead.
Oh, we talked earlier about 9/11 and how that actually woke you up. So you don't believe that 19 Muslim hijackers took down two towers?
Not at all. It was certainly black ops of America and Israel. Israel has a heavy hand in that. I mean, the dancing Israelis that they caught afterwards, you know, they let them go. $3.4 trillion that they announced the day before, 9/11, this is a subject that's vast. Building 7 falling down just from a couple of office fires.
So oh yeah,
everything was wired up, ready to go. I put this in a few designs. The Supertramp album, for a good example, is Supertramp. I forget the name of it, but it's the one where, it says Supertramp. And then it's
Breakfast
got the
America.
Breakfast in America.
Breakfast.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're looking out of a plane over New York, and then if you flip the album cover right over the World Trade Center, it says 9/11. The letters, they've been planning this a long time. They built those towers just to bring them down. I wouldn't doubt if they weren't wired when they built them.
And, of course, there were so many Israeli elements to 9/11, including Rabbi Dov Zakheim, Paul Wolfowitz, Larry Silverstein, Frank Lowy. The list just goes on and on and on. The fingerprints are all over it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that there's a whole group of very dangerous people, the international Jews, that create this. They really have taken over the planet. I mean, that's the nicest way you can put it. They've taken over the media. They control all the money. That's what Germany was fighting against. See, that's what people don't realize is that Germany was a group of people who were so talented that they had to be stopped. They were winning the industrial race. It was machinery. They were best at making machines and trains, and they were beating out the Zionists that were running France and England, and they didn't want the competition. So they created World War I to try to stop them, and Germany was beating France so easily and getting ready to stomp England, And as the story goes, you know, the Jews in England got to said, "I tell you what, if you give us Israel or Palestine, we will bring in America, and we'll win this war. If we win this war, you give us." That was the agreement, they said. And so, yeah, so they brought in America, and they won World War One, and they did what they call the Balfour Declaration. Now, these are things that I want to put in my second book, because this is something that just the media is not going to talk about. See, well, here's the thing: when the Jews buy up the media, that's what they do. They don't tell you. See, they don't tell you these things. They don't want you to know about. They want you to know what they want you to know. So, you know, we're all terribly
Yeah, a week ago, I was actually called in to the office of the State Security Investigations Group here in Australia. They're like Australia's Homeland Security, keeping an eye on people. And this was for my work in my video channels on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. I talked to these officers about a thing called the Transfer Agreement or the Havara Agreement. They looked at me like I was a nutter, like a conspiracy theorist. They'd never even heard of it. Do you think that's the problem with most people, that this kind of history has been kept from us so that we're in the dark about what really happened?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, every now and then you'll hear in the news of some child that was never let out of a room, you know. That's really literally what's happening. Imagine you're in a room and or in a prison cell, and somebody controls the books that you read. Well, what is that, you know, if you weren't educated yet, they're completely controlling your thoughts because, you know, you can only build on your education, you know, from the information you're given. Well, that's why they people know, the Zionists that run the planet, you know, they know that a long time ago that you control the information. That's how you create good controlled people.
You know? Obedient.
That's
slaves.
Why they want to obedient slave. That's why they want to keep you in a schoolroom. Yeah, a few pieces of my art. I do address the education system. You know, where they take fun-loving children and they put them through the machine, and out comes workers, you know, or just dumbed down. It's just, you know, they have you for 12 years, 8 hours a day, and they don't teach you anything except some drivel that, you know, you can't, you know, it's almost like when you get out of high school, you go, well, what do we do now, you know? What I don't really have a skill, so now you got to go learn a skill, you know? I just watched a video on YouTube. It's incredible. It was about using your bare hands. You walk into a forest or a jungle, and the guy, he fashioned a knife or a sharp edge out of a rock, and then he started cutting down trees, and then he built a hut and ended up, you know, mixing water with the mud, and he built a chimney, and God, you couldn't believe what he did in a short amount of time. He built a whole house with his bare hands. I mean, that's what they should teach in school, something like that, you know.
But, that's real life school right there.
Yeah, they don't want you to know these things.
Apart from the incomparable Jeff Rentz, who are the other favorite researchers that you listen to regularly and admire, like David Icke, Max Egan, Alex Jones?
Oh, well, you know, I used to be an Alex Jones fan, but, you know, I realized that he's so Zionist controlled that, you know, I don't trust him at all anymore. But certainly David Icke. Yeah, David Icke. I wish I could have planned for that question. I could give you a whole list of things. But, you know, what I'm kind of, you know, for some reason, what I'm listening to or watching on YouTube now recently, the last few weeks, is, you know, just punch in, or just type in, police or cops taking away your rights, you know, and then the people that you know, at checkpoints, they refuse to, you know, show their ID or, you know, yeah, I just love that. I love the people that learn the law, and then they try to educate the cops. You know, you cannot just ask me for my ID unless I'm suspected of a crime. Am I suspected of a crime? You know, am I free to go? Are you retaining me? You know, and some of them, it's so funny is when some of the guys that first are trying it, you get their voice, you can just hear how scared they are, because I'd be really scared, you know.
It is inspirational seeing people stand up for their human rights, especially against this push to install the Orwellian system against us. In your opinion, is planet Earth just one big slave plantation?
Yeah, they say that the Earth is a pretty much a dumping ground. If you're here, you know, you're kind of in the physical universe. You're kind of, it's sort of a plantation. It's, you know, I'm pretty highly spiritual. I'm not religious at all, but I do study a lot about the spiritual world. And yeah, it's about David Icke. He wrote a book called "Infinite Love Is the Only Truth. Everything Else Is an Illusion." And that's because when you get when you step outside of your body, and you go back to your native state, you realize you look at your body like a pair of shoes you wore. That's really what this game we're stuck in that seems so real and so tragic and so emotional, emotionally devastating when something happens. But, I've been listening to some information from Abraham, which is Esther Hicks. If you just type in Abraham Hicks, and this lady is talking about, the game we play in this universe, in the physical universe, opposed to the spiritual universe. So it's not about Christianity. It's not about any of these other religions that are very man-made. It's about being tapped in and connected up with source energy. We're all extensions of source energy. And if you clean your body up and you become very sensitive, you're surrounded. We're all surrounded by friends on the other side that know exactly what it is we want, our goals, and will help us with them. You just have to be sensitive, and they'll guide you to them. It's incredible. I'm just getting into this the last 6 months, and believe me, it's I've had experiences where, you get impulses, you get thoughts, and I go, wow, all this time I've been having all these thoughts, I didn't know where they were coming from, and it's you're being helped. Everybody's being helped, but. I found that you can't drink wine, you can't drink alcohol. That's the worst thing. It turns your body into your mind doesn't work properly. You can't be sensitive to that, so you got to drop that out and try meditating. I meditate every morning now for the last probably 9 months. Just quiet your mind. Try to lay there. I do it right in the morning when I wake up. I just I relax and I try to not think of anything and just experience a stillness. Any thoughts that come in, I just dismiss them and say, I'll think about you later. And once you do that, you'll realize that you can control your mind. And the other thing is that once I got really good at that, I go, okay, this is a good way. I'll start my day. I'll think about what I'm going to do today, and then I'll mock it all up, and I'll even work out ideas, book covers and all sorts of ideas. I just lay there and just look at my mind like a screen, just like a drawing table, and just throw stuff up, move it around, dream it up.
That's the process of visualization.
It's visualization. It's so powerful because you can create it into the physical universe and make things happen that way.
Do you believe that the government Sorry, go ahead.
Say that again. What?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say. Research. Go to YouTube and research I lost my train of thought. What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
Do you believe that the government has been lying to us for years about Osama bin Laden?
Yeah. About everybody. In fact, this whole new thing about the Charleston shooting. Did you even see the Sandy Hook? Parents. That weren't even crying about their children. These are all actors, and now even the Charleston actors are even worse. I didn't think it could get any worse. I mean, they had these two folks that were talking about their mother just got supposedly killed in this church, and they didn't look. They almost were smirking. It was a joke. Yeah, it's this Charleston shooting looks like another hoax too. This is freaking me out. I mean, what are they? They just create this stuff. They don't really kill anybody. They just get actors, and then they just. Total control of the media. Most people are too stupid to figure it out for themselves or to research it. They just go, oh yeah, somebody got shot, a white guy shot 9 people. Let's just start a race war.
The crisis actors that they get, they're not even very convincing actors.
No, they look like they haven't even had a class.
Do you believe that Obama, the president of the United States, do you believe he's just an actor, just a front man, a puppet stooge?
I would recommend, what was that video, The Dreams of My Real Father? Type that in, Dreams of My Real Father, if you want to know about who Obama really is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this guy's he's a gay guy, he's totally gay, and in fact, the church that he went to right before he became president, there was gay choir director who it was a you know that it was known that he was having an affair with him. That guy mysteriously died, and then another guy in the church, the black guy that was also openly gay, he died. You know, so yeah, they covered up who he really is. And also, it looks like this Michelle, his wife, is really a man too. So
wow.
You know, type that in. Yeah, look at the shoulders, look at the hands, look at the brow. You know, I mean, look at her standing next to him. Does that really look like a feminine woman? That's not a woman. You know,
for all the horrible things that are happening in our world, as far as what's going on, do you see much hope on the horizon? As far as people waking up to what a big scam this is, do you see that actually happening?
No. That's a good question. I like that. Yeah, do you see this turning around? No, I don't see it turning around. Although, you know, it certainly is the people in charge or the people in control are really scared with the Internet. I think that they're going to figure out a way to shut the Internet down because that's their only hope is to waken people up. Certainly people are waking up really fast.
And one last question, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you support the stop funding of Israel?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a terrible, terrible thing they did. You know, Israel is just owned by the Rothschilds. That's their state. You know, that's their thing. They just they pushed all the Palestinians into that little open air prison called Gaza right now. And
well, you've been listening to the People Speak Radio Show with special guest David Dees. I'd like to thank him very much for coming on today and remind all the listeners to visit his website at deesillustration.com. Thanks very much for being on the show today, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome, Steve. Please call me anytime.
Certainly. Join us coming up on the People Speak Radio Show when we talk with documentary maker John Pilger in the future. Stay tuned for some future interviews coming soon. Big thanks go out to the producers Mike and Donald, to all my friends around the world, and to all the guys who give me such support. Thanks very much. Take care, and bye for now.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.